WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. No punishment for President-elect Trump as he's sentenced this morning for his hush money conviction.
It's been a political witch hunt. It was done to damage my reputation so that I'd lose the election, and obviously that didn't work.
Trump appeared virtually in court, speaking for about 6 minutes, calling it a terrible experience. The prosecutor, Joshua Steinglass, supported the no-penalty sentence, but said Trump engaged in a coordinated campaign to undermine the case.
Sentencing the defendant permits this court to enter judgment, to cement the defendant's status as a convicted felon, while he pursues whatever appeals he intends to pursue.
Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
No conditions, no restitution, no community service even, nothing being imposed here.
But Trump will take office in 10 days as a convicted felon, a historic first. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order declaring an energy emergency in Wisconsin. According to a press release, the declaration is in response to severe regional weather conditions that have impacted the distribution of residential heating fuel. Through the executive order, suppliers will be given a 30-day waiver for certain hours of service restrictions to allow them to catch up after suffering weather-related delays and deliver the essential products efficiently for residents suffering through freezing temperatures. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now accepting entries for the 2026 Wisconsin State Park and Forest Vehicle Admission Pass. According to a press release, the DNR's design contest is open to any high school-aged student in the state. Entries should be focused on themes of outdoor recreation, animals, or plants in Wisconsin. The required guidelines for the designs, examples of past winners, and design tips are available on the DNR's website. Entries must be submitted by April 30th. The man accused of killing his pregnant girlfriend and hiding her body in a suitcase in Chippewa County has entered a no-contest plea. According to court documents, 27-year-old Jose Dominguez Garcia of Reedsburg was charged with first-degree intentional homicide in the death of 24-year-old Rosalie Rodriguez. She had been reported missing for nearly 3 months when authorities found her remains on an abandoned farm in the town of Wheaton. Dominguez Garcia was arrested in Missouri in 2023 after nearly 2 years on the run. Parts of Irvine Park in Chippewa Falls will look drastically different when the weather warms up and residents return. Crews have been working to remove thousands of dead and dying trees from the park over the winter, specifically ash trees that may have been affected by the invasive emerald ash borer. Due to the damage the trees have suffered, many of them could be at risk of falling in high winds, which could cause damage to the park trails or injure a resident. Parts of the trails have been temporarily closed for the removal project. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are on the road. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Orlando tonight to take on the Magic. Then on Sunday in New York against the Knicks, Giannis Antetokounmpo leads the Eastern Conference with the highest average of points scored per game. Afterwards, you'll find Giannis every night sitting in front of his locker with ice bags on his knees and feet and a timer set for 20 minutes.
Except one. He's not going to be mad at me. Except one that Brooke took. I didn't like that one. But overall, I feel like we're playing good basketball. We're finding open guys. And when we do that, we're very, very hard to beat.
NFL, the Packers in Philly Sunday to take on the Eagles. So how do you stop running back Saquon Barkley, who has rushed for over 2,000 yards this season?
He does a great job with vision to get guys, peeking in gaps they're not supposed to be and exploit that. And when he does, get into, open space, he can make a guy miss and take it to the house.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, with high temperatures reaching the upper 20s, with spotty snow showers still possible today. Only expecting a trace of snowfall. We will see some sunshine to start the day tomorrow, before more snow moves in overnight and into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly via the Civic Media app if you don't have it yet. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. And you can listen, text, call to any show across the network. It's pretty great. Mm-hmm. We have 20 stations across the state, so check it out, the Civic Media app. He joins us every Friday at this time to do a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. Happy birthday to your little daughter.
Thank you, Jane, and happy birthday to you this week.
Oh, thank you so
much.
Good
week for a birthday.
Good week for birthdays. Absolutely. Not so much for Greg. It was last month, actually. Lots of things we're going to kick around. There's some kerfuffle. An effort to kerfuffle.
Yeah.
There's an effort to fire people up about what's happening with the Milwaukee Public Museum. We're going to talk about that after the 11:30 news.
Mm-hmm.
There's one group that seems to be trying to create problems for something that has been in the works for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, they're just finding out about it now, Dan.
Well, sometimes when you notice things, you realize that there's a whole backstory sometimes. Instead of just like kind of noticing just things in the moment. We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we're going to start off with our legislature's back after a brief 300-day vacation, all rested and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, showing up in Madison on Monday. And their big priority, Dan Schaefer, is it getting poison out of our water? Is it funding child care? I don't know. Is it closing hospitals and stuff like that? What did our legislature decide is the most important thing to address immediately?
Well, as their first order of business, the Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature did not act on cost of living or health care or a number of other priorities that need to be addressed. But they fast-tracked a measure to put a question on the spring election ballot that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Now, it's pretty clear what they're doing here. They're doing this to juice potential turnout in the spring election.
Absolutely.
Because this is the type of question that will speak to the MAGA base of the Republican Party and bring people out. People who are always very concerned about the quote unquote election integrity and all of that. And so bringing people out, getting people out to the polls, because I think Republicans recognize that their best chance of winning back a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the upcoming spring election is by bringing the people who vote elected elected Donald Trump in November, making sure they're at the polls
right.
in April. So I think this is the type of measure that would go towards that. And again, it is a question of priorities. But I think what Republicans one of the biggest differences you see between Republicans and Democrats, Democrats like politics. And Republicans really only focus on power. And this is a measure that would advance their ability to continue to consolidate power and bring them, you know, a majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which would go to their interests overall in state government.
I firmly believe that this constitutional amendment will pass. I really do. I feel fairly certain that that's going to pass. But I don't understand. I don't understand if people are going to show up for this election. Janet Protasiewicz was just elected by a massive margin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a landslide
mm-hmm.
when she got elected because people wanted fair maps, mm-hmm. fairer maps.
Well, there were a number of things, and I think people wanted change on that court, right? People wanted something different. But.
So So we want to go back to that? We want to go backwards.
It remains to be seen kind of like what people want in this. And I think so much was leading to that 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court election. It was years and years and years of work by those on the left to try to really reprioritize the court and win back some of those seats. And the court had been in conservative control for well over a decade and was really impactful in a lot of ways in Wisconsin politics. And now because Ann Walsh Bradley, the kind of like longest serving liberal member of the court, was retiring at the end of her term here, not seeking another 10-year term. You
right.
know, she's 81, I believe.
It's probably time.
So it just sets up another one. And so, but the thing is, if the liberal candidate Susan Crawford is able to win this election, that really will make this majority pretty durable for the next few years, because the next two justices that are up on the ballot after this in 2026, it will be conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley. In 2027, it will be current Chief Justice of the court, also a conservative, Annette Ziegler. So if conservatives win this one, they don't have to worry. You know, they could still there will be another race where the majority is on the line 1 year later.
Right.
If liberals are to win this one, they can relax a little bit, about those seats going forward for the next couple election cycles. So I think, you know, we're all exhausted from the fall election. We're all exhausted just with covering and following Wisconsin politics
seriously.
More generally. So I think that is perhaps why there's not the same level of enthusiasm at the moment. But I think mm-hmm. that will ramp up in the coming months here.
Well, and that was the thing, too, with Janet Protasiewicz. I mean, there wasn't. It wasn't a snowball of energy immediately. It slowly right. ramped up. And
and there was a primary mm-hmm. and there was, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And it's just, this is all going to the original point of the fact that, you know, they want to put these constitutional ballots on here. Robin Voss has said he's going to double down. He's going to put them on mm-hmm. every single election, because whether they can't get it done in the legislature or they can't win at the ballot box, they're going to do everything to consolidate their power. As we just talked about yesterday, and we will be having Representative Greta Neubauer on this to talk about her press release from yesterday, they have eliminated committee members from various
Democrats
yeah.
in Madison. So they're going to do everything they can to get their way, because they can't get it done by legislation or by election. So they're going to, you know, I want to say they're going to cheat. They're going to just basically, like I said yesterday, they're going to be the, I don't like this. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. They're not going to be a representative democracy working together, because that's not how Robin Voss computes.
Well, and it's more about finding flaws within the system that they can exploit.
Mm.
Just like in North Carolina with the mess with the North Carolina Supreme Court race.
There, yeah.
And they want to the Republican wants to throw out 60,000 ballots, not because these people were voting illegally, but because of some very small secretarial even things
mm-hmm.
you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no basis for throwing these 60,000 votes out except for this small little thing that an I wasn't dotted or a T wasn't crossed.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to now to get their way.
But again, it's Republicans understand that it's about power. Yeah. It's about power at all costs. And Democrats don't approach that the same way. They wonder about, oh, let's make sure this is abiding by the norms and the rules. Right. And let's not upset the parliamentarian and like all of these different things. And Republicans are just like, yep, we're doing this.
We don't care.
Yep. Well, but they have the ultimate, you know, I don't want to say Trump card. I don't like that term anymore. But the fact is, like, they say they want the power. So they're going to say, we want to ensure voter confidence. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do this. And as we talked about yesterday, there's going to be a lot of people who vote Democratic who say, or vote for Democrats who say, oh, it just made sense to me. Of course you want. Yeah. Like, there's nothing mean in their hearts towards the exercise or the measure. It's they don't understand the history behind it. And once you get them educated on why they want voter ID, then it becomes a little bit more of a discussion to make them understand this is more based on suppressing the vote of certain groups who the GOP assumes don't vote for them.
Right.
So I think that's one of the main things that we all need to be talking about over the next few months is the history of why Wisconsin or the GOP in Wisconsin wanted voter ID in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation. And then I really think, because we saw it last year, if enough people get educated, they're going to say, nah, we don't need that. We don't need that.
But I am not getting the sense that there is going to be pushback on this the way that we saw last summer with the constitutional amendment on allocating federal funds. There was obviously a big push from Democrats on that one. Most of these amendments do pass. That one did not.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be as much of a push on this one. I think public opinion has really shifted on when it comes to voter ID. And like you said, the reasons that they implemented it to begin with are well documented. They did it for political purposes. But I think the people have not really objected to the process. I think there could be better ways to get IDs to people who don't necessarily drive or like all of these different things. Make that process more streamlined and
no,
whatever.
Maybe
that's
that.
Maybe that's the process. Maybe that's the type of thing that Democrats should be bringing up in this. Be like, yeah, look, we're recognizing that voter ID is the law and has been for a while, and people have been voting this way for a while. Let's make it easier for people to get an ID, for people to be part of the process.
Yes.
I don't think there's going to be as much pushback on this, and I think for a couple reasons, and I think one of it is public opinion, and one of it is just like, I think people are more comfortable having a photo ID now in 2025 than maybe when this was brought up initially in 2012. Like, I think it's just kind of a more of a regular part of our day-to-day life in the United States.
I think that statement speaks of someone who is of a certain age, because I work at a bar and I can tell you every single weekend I turn away at least one, if not more, people under the age of 24 who don't have an ID and do not carry it regularly. It's true, or don't have it because they don't drive. So this is a targeted measure, and there are young people out there who's like, I don't need it. I take Uber. Why do I need an ID? Why do I need an ID to get in here? So, I mean, that's a bigger conversation, but I think they understand that there are certain people who just don't have it or don't want it or don't need it and don't care. So,
yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of a pushback on this, but I think the problem that I do have with it is just making it your first order of business when you come in.
Yes.
And I think we saw some of the pushback on that. State Senator Dianne Hasselbein put out a statement on this after the fact, and she said, you know, responded this by saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans want to focus on, but a constitutional amendment.
To ensure that they stay in power. This is all for their own benefit. I'm sorry. You can tell me that you know inherently that there's voter fraud. Until I actually see some proof, I'm not buying it.
Yes. And again, it is the whole voter ID thing to begin with is a solution in search of a problem.
Absolutely. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor will continue our conversation on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9 to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm discombobulated. It's grounds to be frustrated.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Public Museum. They're going to be moving into a new home in the next couple of years. Someone's trying to make trouble. That's how I see it.
It's a hullabaloo.
It's a hullabaloo in the works, and we'll wrap it all up as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oops, Wrong Number edition. Right now, though, we're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political reporter. Let's talk about this bill, that the Laken Riley bill, that most Democrats voted for.
So it's actually a little bit confusing. So like this has been a very high profile bill that Republicans have been advancing in Congress. It passed the House with a bipartisan vote earlier this week. Now it is heading to the Senate. And so yesterday on the Maggie Dawn show, Tammy Baldwin was on and along with talking about some of her other work to bring a monument for women's suffrage to the National Mall.
A bipartisan measure. Marsha Blackburn, of all people. I almost fell over.
How about that? But there's this Laken Riley Act that that is being advanced. So Baldwin voted yesterday to bring the bill to the floor. So like the majority of the Senate, I think it was 80 some votes to bring the bill to the floor. I think there were like 9 Democratic senators who just like objected to it outright. Yeah. But in her interview yesterday on the Maggie Dawn show, Baldwin articulated why she thinks there are problems with the bill. And there are, and as written, she said she would not support it in its current form. Now, a number of other Democrats have come forward and said that they will be supporting this. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, Ruben Gallego in Arizona. So it does seem like this is it's a bill that's very likely to pass. And I think it will, the question is whether it will reach kind of the threshold to get over the filibuster.
For people who are not familiar, though, Dan, Laken Riley was a young woman who was murdered by an illegal immigrant, correct?
Correct. Yeah, in Georgia. And so what this bill purports to do is to really give law enforcement some more tools to crack down on, you know, instances of illegal immigration. But I think the problem with it, and I'm looking up the statement here from newly elected state senator from New Jersey, Andy Kim. So he put out a statement yesterday, Democrat, saying, you know, I think he was one of those who voted to advance the bill to the floor, but he is also, like Baldwin, objecting to it. So it is already law that undocumented immigrants that are convicted of felonies face detention and deportation. But what this bill does, and I'm going to read directly from Kim's statement here, says, quote, but mandating detention for those facing accusations before they go before our judicial system runs counter to our Constitution. So basically what this bill would do is allow law enforcement to detain people who have been accused of crimes.
And not convicted.
Not convicted, just accused. And so I think that is one of the kind of like constitutional problems that there has with this. I saw one commentator, on Twitter yesterday comparing this to kind of like a Patriot Act type of situation where people are so overly concerned and Democrats are so overly concerned about, you know, finding the right message on immigration that they're going to vote in favor of this bill that could really open up a Pandora's box of a number of issues. But I think what this says to me in a big picture sense, it just suggests to me that Democrats just don't know where they stand on immigration. And I think this is one of the biggest issues that have come out of the election to me is that I don't really know what Democrats' position even is on the issue.
Or how to fix it.
Or how to fix it. And so, you know, this became such a big issue in the campaign. And I think Democrats, instead of wanting to have the argument with Republicans on immigration and border security related issues, they just wanted to change the subject. And I think that was a real problem. And I think in absence of articulating an actual position on immigration, you have Republicans saying, hey, Democrats are for open borders. Yes. They're for crime. They're for this. And people are accepting that as the truth because Democrats aren't A, putting up a fight on it, or B, articulating a clear policy on what exactly they believe. And so this bill, I think, you know, Baldwin, I think, is right to say, hey, let's, you know, this is a new Republican Senate. This is your first measure bringing up. Let's have the conversation. Maybe we can open it up to a broader conversation about amendments. She mentioned in the interview that she had yesterday about, you know, having protections for Dreamers and things like this and having a conversation about comprehensive immigration reform. But doing this kind of like very reactionary, it just doesn't seem like the right path for Democrats. But it does seem like a number of them will be voting for this. So it's an interesting moment for this issue.
I don't disagree with you as far as like the messaging on immigration and the Democrats, because all they were saying in the past few months, especially during the election, was the bill that got killed by Donald Trump's phone call. Mm-hmm. And it was always then to say, look, immigration is a tough problem and we have to come up with a solution. Can I tell you about my family now? Like, yeah, it was always like they always admitted.
Let's talk about abortion now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But the question I have, and this is maybe a Jim Santel question, is, you know, we're talking about the Constitution and on how it deals with it. If they are, and don't yell at me, I'm literally just asking someone who is not smart. If they're not a citizen of this country, the Constitution does not cover them as having protections. Am I correct or not correct?
I mean, that's a good question. Yeah. These are like, there's some really wonky details when it comes to immigration law, because our Congress has not acted to update our immigration law in a really long time.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand about this measure, this would allow, say, people, employers who employ illegal aliens, this is just going to give them more control over those people with threats of saying, I'm going to accuse you of stealing something.
Right.
And you don't get due process. So you better put in another 12-hour shift.
Right. And, you know, there are employers like, as was reported in The Guardian last month, the Wisconsin-based company Uline that exploits a lot of these.
No.
Yes, I know. This is shocking news to you, Dane.
You shut your mouth.
Exploits some of the loopholes in the law to exploit migrant labor in a lot of ways. So again, it is. Are you bringing the same type of action to the companies that are hiring people in this situation too?
Dan Schaefer is here. We have news coming up next. We'll continue our conversation. So stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recapitulate me. I want you to recapitulate me. I need you to recapitulate me. Won't somebody recapitulate me?
This is 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. AARP Wisconsin has announced they are now accepting applications for their 2025 Community Challenge Grant Program. According to a press release, the program provides grant funding for quick action projects to improve quality of life in communities across the state, specifically targeting residents who are 50 and older. The projects could include things like upgrading transportation, housing, and digital infrastructure, or improving public places. The organization will be accepting applications from local nonprofits until March 5th. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced $21 million in awards through opioid settlement funds. According to a press release, the funding amount is the largest awarded in a single quarterly period since the state began receiving the funds in 2022. The awards will go towards harm reduction efforts, treatment and recovery programs, and building projects. The press release also noted that Wisconsin is due to receive over $150 million more from opioid settlements through 2038. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents of an upcoming highway resurfacing project in Pierce County. According to a press release, the project will take place on U.S. 10 from Prescott to U.S. 63 near Ellsworth, beginning in March. During the culvert replacement and bridge repair portion of the project, U.S. 10 will be closed to through traffic from March until around Labor Day. During the resurfacing portion of the project, there will be single-lane closures. Construction is expected to be completed in October. A Rice Lake man who attacked a 73-year-old on a city trail has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, 60-year-old Robert Morrison agreed to a plea deal on an aggravated battery charge in October, and the charge of physical abuse of an elder person was read into the record and dismissed as part of that deal. Morrison reportedly attacked the victim on the Red Cedar Trail in March, biting off the tip of his finger during the attack. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison and ordered to pay over $27,000 in restitution. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the celebrities forced to evacuate their home was actress Jamie Lee Curtis. The Associated Press reports that the last showgirl actress has pledged $1 million to start a fund to help those in Southern California affected by the fires. Celebrities who have actually lost their homes include Mandy Moore and Billy Crystal. The historic Will Rogers home in Will Rogers State Park have also been lost. Nikki Glaser says she was paid handsomely to host the Golden Globes last weekend, but she also told Howard Stern that she was paid less than her male counterparts who had previously hosted. 2023 host Jared Carmichael said in his monologue that he received $500,000. Glaser said she would have hosted for free to prove herself and is hoping to make more next time. Nikki Glaser was the first woman to host the Golden Globes solo. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, with high temperatures reaching the upper 20s, with spotty snow showers still possible today, only expecting a trace of snowfall. We will see some sunshine to start the day tomorrow, before more snow moves in overnight and into Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name 1 year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will join me to discuss the results of Justice Juan Merchan's sentencing of the president-elect, whatever that is. Plus, it's Friday. Tell us something good. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Where to go?
Welcome back to Matineer on Air. Jane Matineer, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board. Nice song there, Calvin. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oops, Wrong Number edition. And a reminder to men's basketball action tomorrow, Wisconsin at USC. The broadcast starts at 1 p.m. You can listen to that game tomorrow on WALAK in Amory, on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, also WRJN here in Racine, and WRCE in Richland Center. Men's basketball, Wisconsin at USC, 1 p.m. tomorrow is the broadcast start. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor. We're going to talk in just a second about Wisconsin population and the outlooks for next 20, 30 years, not promising.
Not great.
Not great. But nope. I did want to start off with this because I have a good friend who works for the Milwaukee Public Museum. I have done stories at the Milwaukee Public Museum. I've been in the basement of the Milwaukee Public Museum. It's a mess, by the way, if you've never been there. And I saw this morning, and it seems like this right-wing group is really, really trying to get people upset about this.
Of course.
About the new Milwaukee Public Museum building. This could mean that Granny, who rocks away on the streets of old Milwaukee, is about to lose her chair. This means the Crow warriors who hunt the bison are now the hunted.
What?
It means the European immigrants who built Milwaukee are being deported back to the old country. The hard reality is this means the death of what we know as the Milwaukee Public Museum.
My
so
goodness.
They're talking about the big dioramas.
Yeah.
That have been at the MPM for decades.
And the streets of old Milwaukee, which people know and love. Yes.
Yes. They're not moving to the new facility.
Right.
The new facility is smaller.
Yes.
Because the current Milwaukee Public Museum is gigantic.
It's a large, cavernous, incredible, weird, decaying building.
and that is the point. Yeah. It is a decaying building. They have had deferred maintenance on that thing for probably 30 years or longer.
Yes.
The windows leak. The plumbing leaks. When I got the tour of the basement, the amount of duct tape and buckets underneath pipes, it's unbelievable. Really, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And they did studies on whether or not it was feasible to rehab the current building. It's not cost effective.
No.
It just isn't.
It's so unfortunate. But it
is.
The thing of it is, we had these debates years ago. Right.
Yes.
And so like the right wing groups that are getting upset about this now. The time to be upset about this was when the debate was happening at the county level and at the state level several years ago. And so in one of my past lives at the Milwaukee, as a reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, I was looking at this up during the break. I wrote an article with the headline Milwaukee Public Museum's Future at Risk. And this was 2017. And so I interviewed the head of the Milwaukee Public Museum at the time and said that if they weren't able to make repairs or have like a long-term plan for a new building, that they would be the largest museum in the country to lose accreditation.
Yes.
So like this issue was around for a while. This is a byline that I had March 17th, 2017. So this is
almost 8 years ago
that we had this conversation. There was, you know, things happening at the county level, at the state level over these past few years. You know, my good friends at Milwaukee Record often have been covering what's been going on with this. Matt Wild wrote a piece with the byline of March 2022 saying we only have a few years left to enjoy the Milwaukee Public Museum.
What?
And this is the thing that the Republicans in this group is just noticing this now, I guess, because they were not part of being engaged in the political process in Milwaukee. And this is, you know, the conversation that was happening in reality was that Milwaukee County had all of these. It was the public museum. It was the domes. It was the, you know, Bucks Arena for was part of this conversation for a lot of the time. All of these like cultural assets that the county did not have the funding to repair or replace or, you know, reimagine for the future, yep, or whatever it is. And they were able to find some path forward for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and they've broken ground on this. The train has left the station. Like, I understand that we all love the streets of old Milwaukee. We all love those dioramas. We all love these things. You got to experience them now because it's the change is happening. We are, you know, going forward with this. Again, the train has left the station.
But for all of these people, and again, I feel like this outlet is just trying to gin up some outrage. They need the new "I'm ticked off about blank."
Yeah.
In order to keep their people engaged, because that seems to be very effective. But it's if you're going to complain about the dioramas being removed or the streets of Milwaukee not going to the new facility, I want to know the last time you were at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Well, don't tell me 1967.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't tell me your field trip when you were
in seventh grade.
Right.
That doesn't count unless you're going on a yearly basis to visit the streets. I don't want to hear you whining about it.
Yeah.
I went there last year with my niece and nephew for their dinosaur days. It was really fun. Of course, we walked Old World Wisconsin.
Yep.
And that was the first time I'd been there in maybe 20 years. And I dare anyone to come out of there with anything more than, okay. It's not inspiring. It doesn't fill you with a sense of civic pride. That's not how this works.
Or wonder.
But the question I have, though,
I love the museum, though. I'd say, you know, when they have the free days as a stay at home dad for a while, those free days at the Milwaukee public facilities were big. So I would take my daughter to the, and we would just go around and walk through all the exhibits and all that. But there would be a lot of times when we couldn't go to a certain wing because it was closed down because there was water leaking through the ceiling.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And, and they were losing parts of their permanent collection, and it was costing a ton of money to like move it or restore it or just like have to dump it and stuff like that. And it's just there was no long-term answer. They finally found a long-term answer, and now they're just like, wait, why are things bad? Different. Change.
But you had a reason to go. You're a dad with kids and you're having a good time. I went there and it was fun, and I'm not going to go there again because I'll go to the new one, which is across the street from the Bucks Arena. But the question I have, is there going to be no sense of history in that museum? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have something similar or remembering or resembling the streets of Milwaukee and all of these dioramas. They might not be the dioramas, but there will be a sense of history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee because that's what a museum does.
And it has to change. Yeah. And when you think of all the technological changes, they could take that diorama of the Native Americans and really put it into motion with sound and movement and on a big screen.
They can really animate it or put you in the middle
of it.
They have unveiled a lot of different plans for some pretty immersive, compelling exhibits that they're going to have there. I get it. It's a bummer, but like things change and we didn't preserve this building and the exhibits there as well as we could have because they were gutting funding for Milwaukee for years and years
Thank you, Scott Walker.
And the Milwaukee County under Chris Abley's tenure had to cut $300 million. And when David Crowley got there, said we need to get a sales tax or else we're going to fall off the cliff. Those are the realities of what the budget is facing. So do you want to take away from like the sheriff's department or the fire department to pay for this stuff? The decisions that Milwaukee leaders have made have said, no, we need to continue to fund these essential services, parks, transit, all of these other things. There have been a budget crunch for the courts, all of that. There are so many cultural facilities that Milwaukee County has been a part of. And like, if you want to get engaged in talking about like something that, you know, is in a conversation right now for the future, talk about the Milwaukee County or the Mitchell Park domes.
Yes.
Like that is something that is in, we are having the debate now.
Yes.
And so like the 2029 version of whatever publication exists at that point might be like, why didn't we save the domes when we could?
Yeah.
That's the conversation that's happening now in 2025. Oh, so like get to that now.
They're going to, if they, for some reason, take down the domes, which I'm not saying they're going to, I'm not saying they should, but just, when they just that, like, what do you mean they're taking it? What do you mean? What do you mean? We decided this like 10 years ago.
It's manufactured outrage.
Oh, yeah. It's
manufactured outrage. And that's what I think this is. Again, we need to keep our people ticked off and we need to keep our people ticked off at X.
Yeah.
So now we're going to direct it over there. This blows my mind. I have big doubts as to the cost analysis and impartiality cited, but even if accurate, it is still less expensive to fix the old versus old building versus the new one. No, it's not.
Because if they would have, they wouldn't have done the new one in the first place.
Exactly. I'm telling you. This has been well known.
I'm looking at the article that I wrote, and I'm quoting my past self, which is, this is, again, 2017. In less than 3 years, the museum has seen about $250,000 of damage to its collections caused by flooding, pipe leaks, and, quote, basic standards of environmental control that the 54-year-old building fails to meet.
It's only 54 years old, too. That was a weird thing. Like, it's not like a 300-year-old building.
But, again, that just shows you how long they have been pushing off maintenance to this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the money wasn't available. And as I said, I've been in the basement of that building. The amount of duct tape, the amount of... They've had to jury-rig all of these channels to lead all this water to the buckets they have on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sustainable. Andrew on the live stream says maybe these groups who are upset could purchase and display said dioramas on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great. Put it up for auction. Sure. There will be some. I would buy the dinosaur diorama for sure. I can fit that in my backyard.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes left, Dan. Let's talk about population in Wisconsin.
Yes. There was a big report from the Department of Administration not too long ago talking about projections for Wisconsin's population in the future. And the headline from Wisconsin Public Radio on this is Wisconsin's population expected to decline by nearly 200,000 residents come 2050. And this is, you know, this is on the heels of a report from a couple years ago identifying the 2010s as the slowest growth decade on record in the history of the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so I think this is part of the long-term legacy of what happened in the 2010s in Wisconsin.
Act 10.
Act 10, Robin Voss being in control of things. Conservatives pretty much controlled the whole state for all but like the final 2 years after Tony Evers got elected.
Yes.
And that led to the biggest decline in population growth in state history. And so I think, you know, I tweeted about this earlier this week saying this is the legacy of the Robin Voss era, that the long term of this, you know, basically the only part of the state that is growing significantly and has grown significantly over the past 15 years is Madison and Dane County.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee's population has really stagnated in a lot of ways. And in northern Wisconsin, many of the, you know, kind of up north counties in Wisconsin are declining already significantly, like by like 15-20%. And if you map that out in the future, we have a very aging, we have an aging population here in Wisconsin, fewer families, you know, raising their children in the state. This is like a really dire long-term outlook. And it's something we really need to reverse the trend on, and we need to do it soon.
I think of just Robin Voss saying one of his fixes is to make people come into the office if you are a state worker, because that will make Wisconsin more, make us look better for job prospects. I'm like, you have no idea how to attract people. My sister will not move to the state, a state she was born and raised in, because she feels like this government hates women, and she doesn't like the fact that my niece lives here. There are definite decisions that were made by this regime that have affected us. And it's all, it's Robin Voss and Scott Walker.
And Robin Voss's fix to this is, let's make it better for retired people.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, I'm of that age, so I get that. But that's not where, I'm not going to be helping with population growth anytime soon. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Subscribe. It's fantastic. He's also Civic Media's political editor. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Oops, the wrong number edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Ow! Sweetie, come here. Don't worry. I see a lot of patients with the exact same thing.
Ever since the ice skating rink went in next door?
Or is it more than
Dr. Clark's business is heating up.
So many patients need my help. How will I find time to see all of them?
They need to hire a scheduler, stat.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiscCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiscCaregiver.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We do have a little snow falling in Racine. Pretty light right now, but might be enough just to make things a little bit slickery, so be careful out there. Watch your speeds. Please remember that no matter what you drive, the laws of physics still apply to you.
I got all-wheel drive, baby. I drive how I want.
Coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
Very excited to have him back. It's been a couple of weeks. Matt Randolph is Mr. Global.
Yes.
Oil and gas industry experts. Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby, drill in his next administration. Matt's going to be here to explain what that would mean for you and me.
And he has been going pretty hard on YouTube lately, and I would just very much suggest you look for one of his videos came out this week, which is a 35-minute video of his story.
It's fascinating.
It's very, very good, and it just gets you up to speed with what he's doing and what the things he speaks to us about. Just take a listen. When he's on next week, I'll link it in the show notes, but it's a really good watch.
Get to know Mr. Global.
Exactly.
Well, and again, he calls himself an oil and industry gas expert. That's not a self-appointed title.
No, it's not.
And that's something you have to earn.
Yeah, and we'll talk to him about that, too, next Monday.
Also coming up on Monday, excited to bring it back, Beyond the Cheese, our segment where we feature businesses in Wisconsin that are outside of the dairy industry. Very, very excited about this. Stephen Aronson from Wisconsin Knitwear is going to be here. It's a company based in Milwaukee, and they are still producing knit hats and all kinds of things. And this is a business that his grandfather started. So they've been around in Milwaukee for a really long time. He's going to be coming in studio. Very excited about that. I understand there could be new hats involved.
Oh, baby.
I know. We can only hope. So that's all coming up on Monday. Mr. Global at 10:33 and then Beyond the Cheese at 11:06. I hope you can join us. It's 11:54. Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Jason Kendall in Law and Crime. Headline reads, I just need a couple of points. Florida woman accidentally texts narcotics investigator instead of her drug dealer for fentanyl hits. I hate when that happens. Florida woman, shock, facing criminal charges after authorities say she accidentally texted a sheriff's official whose number she saved because they were similar, the his initials are similar to her drug dealers.
I mean, just starting the Florida year outright. Mwah, chef's kiss.
41-year-old Octavia Wells now facing charges of unlawful use of a two-way communication device.
All right.
Possession of drug paraphernalia and driving with a suspended license. This all came to light December 31st when the sheriff's office investigator got a series of unsolicited text messages from someone called Octavia. She said she just needed a couple of points. Apparently, that is referring to 1/10 of a gram of fentanyl. Octavia also told the sheriff's official that she had $45 to spend. They set up a place to meet. Deputies found her driving on a highway. She was driving on a suspended license. She pulled into the agreed meeting location to get the drugs. When she was stopped at the gas pumps, got out at the vehicle, a deputy approached her while she was standing there. She admitted that she was there to buy a small amount of fentanyl because she was going to go to rehab that day.
Well,
you want a little bump before you go in?
Sometimes people do that. I guess. They get high before they go in so that, because they're going to have to, it's not going to be good.
The defendant said she mistakenly texted an investigator whose number she had, whose initials matched her drug dealer's. If there's a lesson to be taken from this, maybe spell out the whole name.
Well, why do you even have a cop's number in your phone to begin with?
That's like,
unless you're an informant.
I don't think that was the case.
Well, then it's too much Florida for me.
A search of her vehicle turned up tinfoil used to smoke fentanyl test strips with straws used to smoke it, a digital scale, and straws under her driver's seat. She has posted bond and ordered not to possess or consume booze. She is scheduled to appear in court at the end of this month. But again, this shouldn't be a thing. Oops. Wrong number edition. Calvin, that wraps it up for today.
This shouldn't be a thing.
And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We have news coming up next. Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. Dominic Salvia, 4 to 6. Lightening it up with Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. You were on last night.
I was on last night. It was so much fun. I gave my popcorn pick of the week, a wonderful movie that I can't remember the name of it right now, actually.
It was that impactful.
Movie. Wicked Little Letters.
Oh, Wicked Little Letters. There. Yeah, you can also always listen to all of our shows in podcast form. Mm-hmm. If you miss it live, go to civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I review 2024 in the law and talk about what it tells each of us about our expectations for 2025 and your family. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. No punishment for Donald Trump as he was sentenced for his felony conviction in the hush money case. No jail time, no fine. That's what prosecutor Joshua Steinglass recommended.
It gives full effect and respect to the jury's verdict while preserving the defendant's ability to govern.
Judge Juan Merchan has presided over the case and has been the target of Trump verbal attacks.
Ordinary citizens do not receive those legal protections. It is the office of the president that bestows those far-reaching protections to the office holder.
Trump appeared at the New York proceeding virtually, calling it a terrible experience and maintaining his innocence.
All of the horrible things that are going on, I got indicted over calling a legal expense a legal expense.
And he said on social media he will appeal the conviction. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.